Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, everybody. It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. We're here for you every weekday at 12 noon Eastern Time on Be Unique Radio at beunique.org. We have fun and give away a different free gift each week. All you have to do to get the goodies and join in the fun is call us now at 1-516-418-5651. You can also join the show and get chances to win by sending us an email at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Gene. Man, I tell you what, it's never the same show twice because... It's always an adventure getting logged in.
Yeah, that's half the fun.
Yeah.
And then my other half the fun is remembering to I have to set alarms and things to remember to stop having fun what I'm doing and take a break because, you know, I'll go right on past sometimes.
Well, we're getting ready to fix that.
Yes, we're going to take care of that. Everything, you guys, this is going to be – 2021 is going to be the year of take a break with Gene and Mary.
Yeah.
Yep. Be unique.
So I hope everybody's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And today is going to be our last live show unless we do a special.
Yeah. Or unless we just decide we want to do one sometime.
Yeah.
You never know.
So I've posted the new trivia question online with all the hints. If anybody wants to play along with our trivia,
yes, please.
I have a word of the day.
Yes.
Gelid. G-E-L-I-D. And the definition of gelid is extremely cold or icy. Now, gelid first appeared in English late in the 16th century, coming to our language from the Latin gelidus, which ultimately derives from the noun gelu, meaning frost or cold. The noun gelatin, which can refer to an edible jelly, you know, like jello, undergoes a cooling process as part of its formation. And that comes from the Latin word gelare, meaning to freeze. Gelid is used to describe anything of extremely cold temperature, as in the gelid waters of the Arctic Ocean. But it can also be used figuratively to describe a person with a cold demeanor, such as the criminal's gelid stare.
Well, now, what about gelatus? I believe I've heard that. Now that you're talking about the definition, gelatus. Let's see.
How do you pronounce that? Spell that.
Well, I guess G-E-L-I-T-O-U-S.
Oh, you mean gelatinous?
Gelatinous. Yeah, there we go. See? There we go. Sometimes it takes two.
Yeah. Yeah, gelatinous, I think it means the ability to gel.
Yeah. So it would be the
I'm going to check.
Adverb.
I'm going to double check it. Having the consistency... It just has the consistency of jelly.
Okay. So it would be an adjective.
Correct.
No, I'm sorry, adverb. An adverb.
No, adjective.
Gelatin.
Adverb.
O-U-F.
Think about it. Adverb means it modifies the verb.
Okay. So it's gelato. Okay. All right. I got this. My dad was an English teacher.
What about gelato?
Gelato.
Italian ice cream gelato.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I suppose same concept. Sure. How cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, very neat.
So today we're talking about cooking. So I want to ask you, do you like to cook?
You know what? I do. What I like to do is cook for people who enjoy it. That's really what it is. If I'm all alone, I'll cook a pot of beans and I'll eat on it for 3 days and cook something else after I'm done. But
well,
I was
just
a hot dog guy for 5 years, and man, I love showing off and just had the best dog for miles around, and it was awesome. Cook all day.
I have a friend who called our show last week, and she lives to cook. She goes to bed at night thinking about what she's going to cook the next morning. She cooks breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She's actually working on, she's creating a cookbook. Just insane love of cooking. Me, not so much. Now, I will admit, I am a great cook. I know I am. I can cook with the best of them. And I've made many a person's mouth water because I am a good cook. But I don't like it. I don't live for it. My husband,
you don't like the process. You like the doing it as much.
She likes thinking about cooking.
Oh.
And my husband will come to the door sometimes around 5:30, say, "Have you thought about dinner?" And I just look at him and I say, "No." He says, "Well, I'm getting hungry." Well, looks like we got a problem because I hadn't thought about it yet. I'll go see what's in the freezer I can throw out quick.
I know the story. I'll tell you. Somebody asked to think about it, but nobody did, and everyone wanted to eat. And
yeah, some days we do. I will think ahead of time, and I'll say, "Hey, it's early morning, like 10 or 11 o'clock." I'm like, "How would you like to have whatever for dinner tonight?" He goes, "Are you thinking about dinner already?" I said, it just popped in my head. So, yeah, he thinks it's funny. He thinks it's hilarious when I do. And one of the things that's a joke around here, people talk about Taco Tuesdays.
Right.
Well, I don't do tacos, but I do taco salad. And he loves his taco salad. He thinks that's just the best thing in the world. But I typically have them on Monday or Wednesday, Thursday or Friday. And one night I happened to have a taco salad on a Tuesday. He said, "Let me take my pulse. I think the world is going to come to an end because you're doing something normal." And that's kind of our joke, is that I do it different than the rest of the world.
Right. That's just like the opposite.
Yes. Well, that shows you're not the only contrarian in the world.
I think my thing is that I always wanted to be a good cook ever since I was a kid. My first job right out of high school that I got went to and punched a clock and got a paycheck was in a restaurant. I was picking turkey bones. The very end, I was the last. It was a turkey food restaurant, and the very end was picking all the meat off for stew. And that, I fell in love with cooking at that point. So
that's kind of cool.
Camping cooking, I like to do.
Cooking outdoors is always the best.
Yeah. Open fire and big old frying pan.
I used to really like to, when I had teenagers, I enjoyed cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Because they definitely showed they appreciated it. But, and then when I had a kid in the Navy, I sent him a care package every 2 weeks. And I'd send him a card every day. But I sent him a care package. It took me 2 weeks to prepare it because I was cooking for 2 weeks to fill the box up.
Bacon.
And one of my specialties was homemade cinnamon rolls. Yeah,
really?
They could put Cinnabon to shame.
Wow,
and that was my grandmother's recipe.
Well, that got me thinking that back when I was in the Navy, my mom used to send me, she'd make cookies and stuff, but she'd fill the box with popcorn for packing.
Yes, that's
so
a good way to pack
popcorn
it.
Too. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you're such a good mom.
And you know how the Navy sorts out mail?
Oh,
the
yeah.
guy who gets the most mail gets called first.
Yeah.
And my son was always called first. And I didn't know until after the first cruise was over that he had so much stuff that he was sharing it, which was good. You know, that way everybody got to take some of it. And
sure.
Another thing I found that was good for packing care packages was loose socks and underwear, which they always needed. and
sure.
You know, just throw a couple of extra pair of socks in there, and it would just cushion the boxes really well.
Yes, and especially in the North Atlantic.
Oh, I tell you, one time I was making him a box of cookies, and I had packaged the box up really well. You know, unfortunately, I'm an overachiever when it comes to taping.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had taped and taped and taped and had the box sitting on the front, on the top of the car. And I was getting ready to mail it, but I had to go back in the house for something. When I came back out, the cat had torn through the package. Not the cat that I have now, another
right.
cat, and had torn through that package and was having a good old time eating some cookies. Needless to say, that kind of put a damper in my day.
Yeah.
But you learn to roll with the punches. And that's
yeah.
the thing I think
yeah.
a good cook does, because there are always going to be things in the kitchen that don't work the way you want them to.
Oh, yeah. Remember Julia Child?
I remember.
Said, oh, I'm so glad that happened.
Oh, yeah, so she can make
a
lesson out of
it. Fix
it. Yeah, she
yeah.
can show you how to make something good from a mistake.
Exactly. My grandpa was like that. With construction stuff, not cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have a favorite pot?
You know, I think if I just had one pan, that's the only pan I ever had to cook with, it would be a cast iron skillet.
Yes.
You know, one of the
And I'll take that a step farther and
uh-huh.
say if I could only have one, it would be my cast iron Dutch oven. Because it is
oh.
like, without the lid, it's like a the perfect thick, you know, it's deep is the word I'm thinking of. It's a deeper
right.
skillet than a regular skillet. So you can put something thick in it or, you know, a lot of stew or soup or whatever. But the beautiful
yeah.
thing about cast iron is every time you cook in it, you actually incorporate more iron into your body, into your food.
Uh-huh. Nice.
Now,
I didn't realize that.
Are your cast iron skillets, are your cast iron skillets shiny or black?
Black. I mean, they're seasoned, so they don't stick
yes.
or anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's as they should be. Now, interesting little tidbit. My mother taught me how to season her skillet
mm-hmm.
because her mother
oh, yeah.
had taught her how to do it. Yet my mother's sister's frying pans, cast iron skillets, were just as shiny as the day when she bought them. She never let them season.
Wow. I guess
and
so.
I have a cutting board.
Drug. Yeah, wow. Cool.
Yeah, I have a cutting board that I only almost only use it to cut. It's a wooden one. I use it to cut pizza on. And
uh-huh.
I almost never let water touch it. Every now and then, if I have to, I will. But I typically brush it off, and then I'll re-season it with olive oil.
Well,
so you can season your cutting boards as well as you do your skillets.
That's interesting. Yeah, I had not thought of that. That might be the way to go. And because a lot of times the cutting boards I've had, you know, you don't want to wet them. You know,
that's right.
This, so about the frying pan, I've had people scold me for using soap and water to clean it. But in reality, that's what I do that. I mean, if you make gravy, it automatically cleans the pan.
Yes, it does.
But you just have to rinse it out. But I just put just a little drop of soap in, give it a little swirl with some hot water, rinse it out good, and, you know, that it's seasoned, so it doesn't need the grease in it, the live grease or whatever. So,
right, right.
Perfect. And, man, this thing's probably 10 years old. Looks like it cooks perfect. Pizza. Oh, I love making pizza.
I have a cast iron skillet that belonged to my grandmother.
Oh, how sweet is that?
It's probably 100 years old. Well, let's see. Yeah, it's. She was born in 1901, so she would have gotten it around 1920 or earlier. I don't know how old she was when she got married.
Right.
But if she got it in 1920, it's 100 years old.
100 years old. Very cool.
And I hope to keep it in the family another 100 years.
Yeah.
But, Gene, we can't stay on this show another 100 years because our time is up.
No, that's true. It looks like I'm going to have to get a bell. I keep hearing a bell in my a warning bell, and I have one, and I can't find it, and I will. There you go. Well, let's get out of here. Let's
All
get
right,
out of here, and we'll see everybody
tomorrow. We're going to talk about our fate. Tomorrow.
Today's Monday.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're talking about our favorite gardens. That's going to be fun.
Woo-hoo.
Or, you know, maybe
gardens.
Not our favorite gardens, but, you know, the gardens that rank really high in the world as far as beauty.
Yeah. Gardens of the world.
Gardens of the world, yeah. All right, folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Gene,
well,
I'll talk
out a few seconds of music, and let's go.
All right. Do, 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 do. Bye, everybody.
Bye.